The changes are part of what the Air Force calls its new strategic management framework. It includes a 30-year outlook on the weapons systems the service wants in its portfolio and a new 10-year cycle of budgets that are intended to be not overly optimistic. The first two elements have already been put into effect. The third, an Air Force master plan, is still a work in progress. But General Mark Welsh, the Air Force Chief of Staff, says it's the most important. It will allow the service to trade off its priorities for cost savings during the course of the fiscal year, during every fiscal year.
Everything's got to be visible now because we're going to have to make tougher and tougher and tougher choices. That's what the MAJCOM commanders have been in the business of for the last several years. And then the FY17 POM bill will be the first time we have that entire strategic framework available. And we have to be consistent with it. We have to be disciplined enough to stay within it. And the real long-term focus for us is building a game plan that's executable for the mid-20s. Because right now, the things we have in our plan, we cannot afford. With the money that we are projected to have, something has to change. Whether it's more money, support from outside the Air Force, or reprioritization inside the Air Force, something has got to change. And the strategic framework will help us do that change and then help us revisit this over and over and over again, because what becomes important is the strategic planning process. It drives everything we'll do.
To shepherd the Air Force through its new strategic planning process, the service launched a partial reorganization of the air staff within the Pentagon last year. The new A-58 organization is expected to be fully up and running by the beginning of October. Its main task will be to step back from the chaos of the annual budget planning process and build long-term realistic plans for both the service's budgets and its major programs. Welsh says the Air Force needs visibility and long-term stability on its plans, not just for internal purposes, but also to build a trust relationship between the Air Force and Congress. He says the service needs to deliver a consistent message and consistent plans to Capitol Hill if it wants its priorities to survive the annual authorization and appropriations processes intact.
But nobody should be surprised by what happens in the Air Force. Next time we tell somebody, by the way, we're going to shut down the A-10s and we're going to move maintenance crews over to the F-35 because we need them to bed down the forest. We should have been saying that for 10 years in a row. Nobody should act surprised by that. It's been a plan for a long time. We just haven't presented it in a way that makes it really clear over and over and over again. We got to do better at that.
In the near term, while Congress hasn't yet taken final action on DOD's budget for 2015, it has rejected several major Air Force proposals to reprioritize funding at several preliminary gates in the legislative process, including proposed base closures, compensation tweaks, and the retirement of entire fleets of aircraft, including the A-10. Deborah Lee James, the Air Force Secretary, predicts Congress will eventually approve about 75% of the Air Force's budget. The other 25% in which they make changes will inevitably cause some painful choices.
What concerns me and what I continue to say to Congress at every opportunity that I have is if, for example, Congress says, no, do not retire certain aircraft in FY15, they must pay for that somehow because, of course, they're dealing with the same budget figures that we deal with. And what my fear is that they will carve it out of our readiness accounts in order to be a bill payer to rearrange other funding priorities. So that's the caution that we keep putting forth. Do not carve it out of readiness. Our readiness has already suffered through the years. It's atrophied to a certain degree. We have got to get those levels up. And so please don't take it out of readiness.
Welsh also says the Air Force can't afford another readiness setback following the widespread pause in pilot training it was forced to undertake last year when sequestration first took hold.
So if we feel we have to defend readiness to do our principal job, if that's the case and we are not allowed to either divest force structure or recapitalize force structure or reshape it, then it's coming out of modernization. That's it. It's the only other option.
That's also something the Air Force doesn't want to do. While the service says it won't back off on funding its highest priority acquisition programs, the F-35, a new refueling tanker, and a new long-range strike bomber, it has several other lower-tier modernization priorities and a lot of work to do in order to keep its current fleet airworthy until new systems come online.
Airplanes are falling apart. I don't care if it's B-1 oil flanges that are breaking and starting fires or if it's F-16 canopy sill longerons that are cracking. There's just too many things happening because our fleets are too old. They're just flat too old. We have to recapitalize.
And Welsh says the Air Force's plans to build new aircraft and repair its existing fleet are in keeping with its new strategy to not ask for more money than it will realistically get.
We're trying hard to face reality here and not ask for, you know, candy that we know isn't coming. And we're trying to do it within our top line. We're not asking for more money. We're just asking for the permission to actually recapitalize within our budget line. And the problem is there is a natural tension between ongoing operations and future capability. We completely understand that. But our view is we can manage the ongoing operations, but if we don't get to this recapitalization, we will eventually have no capability in these mission areas 10 years from now. And we can't mortgage the future for the present. That's not the right answer.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.